locomotive. You can't polish my chrome so clean. We can fly off into the sunset together. A rusty old American dream still running. A rusty old American dream.
That's right. Get those car care questions ready for ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Denny Long here, waiting your text messages and your phone calls for Dan. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Denny. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. I hope you are, too. I hope you had a good week. And anything particular stand out as far as what your customers are bringing in their vehicles for, maybe getting a summer on-the-road tune-up or things like that, maybe?
Yeah, the air conditioning machines are in full bloom right now. There's lots of air conditioning work that has been going on and is going to go on because this humid weather does not work well when the air conditioning doesn't work. That's for sure.
What's typically wrong with people when they need to get their AC checked? Is it just a refrigerant leakage or what?
That is the most common repair where the air conditioning has lost some or all of its refrigerant, and it needs to be filled up again, of course, to work properly. If it's not as efficient as it used to be, if it's not blowing as cold as it used to be, usually it's because the refrigerant is low. And the process is to look for a leak, to evacuate the system and completely and clean it and put fresh refrigerant and oil and dye back into the system and get you back on the road. But in the process, we try and find a leak, which oftentimes is you can't find. Sometimes they're so slow and so minute, there's just no
opportunity for us to book these events.
Yeah, so it just happens that way that you can't find them. But the process is to get them filled back up, and it'll last again and work well for another several years.
Well, let's hope so. We have 85 the high today, and the next couple of days coming up this week too. So yeah, you'll probably have more customers coming in, getting things checked out. If you have any kind of a car care question, keep in mind Dan will be with us for just about another 30 minutes or so when Jack Farrell comes in here. So don't wait if you need to bring in your vehicle to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer. You want to know what could be ailing? Call us or text us. Same number, by the way, 651-989-9226. There's a question about, and we get this, we've addressed it, I think, from time to time for years, Dan, but as far as not driving vehicles as often during this pandemic in the last year plus, the question is, can tires get old even if, you know, it's sitting in the garage?
We call it weather cracked. And they absolutely can get old, and oftentimes that's the point at which we'll recommend tires. Oftentimes they're a long ways from worn out. In other words, there's still plenty of rubber there that would work, but the tires have gotten the rubber on the tires have gotten so cracked, and the cracks go so deep that it starts to affect the body of the tire, the thing, you know, the part that holds the body of the tire or the tire together. And when those cracks get that deep, then it's certainly a safety concern, you know, for a blowout or for the tread of the tire coming off. And so, yeah, it's, you know, it takes a long time. I'm not saying it's a year or two event, but we see that quite a bit where the tires have just gotten so weather cracked that they need to be replaced.
All right, thanks for that text. If you want to call in your question again, 651-989-9226. Dan, this text reads like this. It's a 1988 Chevy K2500 305 V8. The temperature gauge will go to the red zone, then back to normal. It'll keep repeating this. Do you have any ideas what could be ailing there?
Well, I do. first of all, we need to see if we can trust the gauge. If the gauge is accurate, then there's something going on in the cooling system, and you know, perhaps a thermostat or air in the system or something like that. But the first step in this diagnostic process would actually be to see, or something like that. But the first step in this diagnostic process would actually be to see if the coolant gauge is reading accurately. And I suspect it's not. I suspect that the engine is not overheating and cooling off quickly like that. I think more likely what's wrong is the coolant gauge is not reading correctly, and either the problem would be at the sensor itself, in the wiring in between, or at the gauge itself, which is part of the dash assembly most commonly. And if it is the gauge itself in the dash assembly, the process would be either to take that assembly out and replace just the gauge. Sometimes that's we're able to do that. Otherwise, it would be sending the whole gauge or the whole dash assembly out and having the gauge repaired and putting it back together. Both are common repairs. We do that quite frequently, and they're good repairs. And so no matter where you land with it, you probably need to know that your cooling system is doing its job. That's why they put coolant gauges on the car and warning lights so that you don't drive it with it overheating.
In this case, let's see, this is a Chevy that's about 33 years old. Is that an issue when cars become that old as far as finding parts or servicing a vehicle like that, or is do you still have control of that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it
depends.
Back in the day, Denny, it used to be really difficult to try and track stuff down. But now with the internet and all of the information that's out there, finding stuff is just not much of an issue. You know, we can order and shipping too is amazing. We can order a part in from California. If I order it before 4 o'clock on a weekday afternoon, I can have it in my office at 10 o'clock the next morning.
That's amazing.
And oftentimes that's better than the delivery of local parts that we order from White Bear Lake. So, it's amazing. The information, the parts that are available, and the shipping, the way they accomplish it is just, it amazes me.
Really, really, me too. All right, I'm getting a signal, Dan. We need to take a quick break. And invite our listeners to join in. We have more texts coming in. If you want to chat with Dan about your vehicle problem, or send a text, same number, 651-989-9226. It's hit 70 in the Twin Cities already, heading for 85. Stay with us here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long here with ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, exactly tell us where Lloyd's Automotive is there on beautiful Grand Avenue.
Well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, Denny, which is right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue. You can find us on the internet at lloydsautomotive.net, LLOYDS, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call as soon as this morning, 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that info before Dan leaves us this morning, which is going to be about 7:45. So if you have any kind of a car care question, don't wait. Call or text Dan, and same number, 651-989-9226. Dan, speaking of calls, I think Brad is waiting there in Bloomington to ask you a question. Brad, good morning. What is your question? Okay. Hello, Brad. Brad must have left us. Well, the texters haven't left us. If you have a question you want to make via text, the same number, as I said, 651-989-9226. This one says, Dan, good morning. After driving 2 hours with my 2010 Honda Civic on Thursday, cool air would not come out of the vents. although the fan was trying to blow. Could the problem be low Freon or the fact that the fan speed was set on low while the air temperature was set to very cold?
Well, no, it would not be the settings. Setting the settings wherever you want is just fine. It could very well be that the refrigerant is low, and until we got this hotter, more humid weather, the air conditioning system seemed capable of keeping up. But as the weather gets warmer, and as there's more demand on the air conditioning system, that's when people realize that, oh, this isn't really working very well. It's as I drive down the road, I'm just not as cool as I used to be. And that's a very good indication that the air conditioning system is low on refrigerant. And if you bring it into your shop and have them go through the service process, like I said earlier in the show, they'll look for a leak. A good chance they won't find it because it's probably very, very slow. But at any rate, they'll get the system recharged for you and you'll be back in business for a good long run again.
We've been talking, among other things, about air conditioning in your vehicle. And a listener wants to know, we were talking refrigerant. Is the new refrigerant as good as the old stuff? That's a quote.
I think people say no, but I've never found that to be true. The old R12, they think that it worked better, but I think that it was just more a function of the size of the air conditioning compressors and the amount of horsepower it took to drive those large air conditioning compressors. When they came with R134, they reduced the quantity of the gas that is in the system, and they also reduced the size of the air conditioning compressors. And in that process, you lost some efficiency. But the gas itself, I think, works just fine. I think that the newest gas is also fine, but that's even smaller air conditioning compressors and less quantity of refrigerant. So it's getting more complicated as the years go on. The old R12, the oldest type of refrigerant, isn't even available anymore. We can't buy it. Can't get it. We don't even have a machine for it anymore.
Okay. Thanks for that text. We're going to take a break for the forecast. Keep in mind, Dan will be with us for about another 15 minutes or so. So don't wait. If you have a car care question, get some expert advice from Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive coming up. More of it here on 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, answering your car care questions. Let's see. Brad has got a cell phone working again. Brad's Bloomington calling in. Thanks, Brad. What is your question this morning? Hello, Brad. Okay. This is not April Fool's. I know it's not. Let's, Dennis, go to Jay in Excelsior. Jay, you're on CCO with Dan Burns.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. How else would I listen to this show?
Outstanding. What can we do for you?
Anyway, I've got a 2009 Lexus RX 350, and I didn't drive it much last year, again, because of COVID. You guys talked a little bit about COVID today. And it has a couple warning lights on, and I'm wondering what they're actually are. So I should be terribly concerned. One of them is VSC, Victor Sierra Charlie. And the other one has a little car with squiggly lines underneath it like it's skidding.
Well, those are hard to describe, and there are so many lights and so many possibilities of lights on it. I wonder if you're describing the check engine light. I don't know that for sure, but if the check engine light comes on, that DSC light will come on because as just part of the protection for the vehicle and for safety, it shuts off the anti-lock braking system. And maybe that's what both lights are about. I'm not sure. But if it is, the one is certainly related to the skid control and anti-lock braking. And if those are the lights that are on, first of all, know that that doesn't have anything to do with the hydraulics of your brakes. The brakes should still work fine, but the traction control has been turned off for some reason. Either it's that that system itself has problems and needs attention, or if it is the check engine light that's on, the other light that needs attention. And if you get one fixed, it'll take care of them both. So that's the good news about it is they're related. And if you get one fixed, it'll take care of it.
All right, very good. Thanks, Jay. There's an interesting text. It says, if you have two different tread patterns but the same size tire on the rear of a truck, can you throw out the rear differential?
No. You know, that's always been a concern for people, and it's been a theory that's been kicked around. But truly, the two tires, even if they're exactly the same size, are never turning at exactly the same rate of speed. First of all, if you're going around a corner at all, the inside wheel is turning slower than the outside wheel. So because of that, there needs to be room for flex. There needs to be flexibility, and there needs to be a place for something to slip. And with a little bit of, difference, that slippage is minor and will not affect or hurt anything. I personally have never seen a differential or transfer case damaged because of different size tires, front and rear or left and right. But, like I say, the reason they don't want you to do that is it causes excess amounts of slippage. In other words, if there was a huge difference left and right or front and rear, it could cause the slipping to be happening too much and things to overheat and cause trouble there. But, again, I've never seen it, but theoretically it's true. It could cause a problem.
Okay. Doesn't say what year, Dan, but it's an F-350. It says all electronics go dead. When driving, it doesn't seem to affect it. The brakes work, the steering works, the truck accelerates. After about a minute, the electronics come back on. You're the electronics detective. What do you think?
Those are tricky ones. Obviously, it's a power or ground problem. You know, if it's affecting a whole bunch of different components, it's a power or ground problem, and the tricky part is that it only lasts a few seconds and comes back, and doesn't happen very frequently. So for a technician, those are the stories that kind of make us shudder. When I'm supposed to find it, when it's not acting up, it's always a challenge. But on the other hand, it's what we get paid to do. So we do usually zero in on that stuff and are able to get it fixed. But where the problem, what the source of the problem is, I don't know. Like I say, when it affects a whole bunch of things, the diagnostic process is for us to look at the book, the wiring diagram, and figure out what's related to all of the things that are acting up. And that helps us narrow the picture a little bit, but those are challenges when they only last for a little bit and they don't happen very often. Those are hard.
Dan, we're just about out of time. Let's see if we can't do a real quick one or two. A 92 Jeep Wrangler been sitting unused indoors a couple of years. What would be the recommended steps to getting it road ready?
Well, it probably is road ready. Get the battery charged up. Get the tires pumped up, check all the fluids, and you know, give it a whirl, see what you get. A couple years old, the you know, the fuel is probably pretty old, so you're going to want to for sure run a full tank of gas through it. But it's probably not so old that it'll be a problem. But pump up the tires, get the battery charged up, and see what happens. Make sure the fluids are all full and put some miles on it, and I think you'll be just fine.
Let's do a real quick answer here. 2016 Jeep, 27,000 miles. The brakes squeak in the morning just backing out of the garage, and that's the only time it does this. What happens?
I wouldn't worry about that. You know, those are things that you can spend a lot of money chasing, and we can fix it, but it requires replacing the brakes. And so if it only does it that one little bit in the morning, I wouldn't worry about it.
Just live with it. All right, how do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Very good. Thanks for the help, Dan. Let's talk again next week.
Sounds good, Denny. Thank you.
Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.